This is the set we're using, and this is a desk, and a chair, two chairs, and another desk and a chair. And we have two doors, but they're not coming from the same place. One is a back door, and one is a side door into the office. A back door and a side door, so they're basically coming from a different place. Now, because we're using these as entrances, we would be obliged if you didn't use them as exits during the play. The play has got 12 scenes in it. The set actually is, because it's going to stay much the same, because we're not going to change the set as such. The three scenes that the play takes place in are the director's office, the Pitadepi classroom, that's where you learn the new language Pitadepi. Actually go in that order, but I'll read out just before each scene as to which scene it is. So we're going to, the stage of the play that we're at basically is that the actors, we've moved the play, but we're still reading the lines. So it's been moved, so the actors are working with properties and with moves about the set and reading their lines at the same time, which is a difficult stage. We just didn't have time to learn all our lines. It would have taken another 3 or 4 weeks. So, bear with us here. And thank you. So, the first scene is the director's office. I'll put out the lights and Kevin can put on it.
Rakotutu de Dakotu ila Trabamu de Musahu. Ibegar eid stro ready gear candy. Alives a verde dizu. Kvandal fair. Tikiunio Selli, Degto, L.A. Free, Estimar, Orca Epli, E. Bordur. Dip, you're here.
Yes, we are.
I didn't hear you come in.
Well, we entered quietly.
I see. Have you been here long?
Not long.
What is it?
Well, we've come here to ask your advice, Mr. Gross.
Go on.
Where should Miss Pillar record the incoming mail?
Couldn't be more obvious, Mr. Ballas, in the incoming mail book.
It's full, isn't it, Miss P?
So soon?
I'm afraid so.
Good gracious. Well, she'll have to get a new one.
No funds to get a new one, have we, Miss P?
What do you mean, no funds? As far as I recall, a purchase of 2 incoming mail books was budgeted for this quarter.
It was, but in accordance with the new economy drive, all budgeted expenditures were cut in half, with the result being we were only able to purchase 1 incoming mail book. Which is, as I've mentioned, full, isn't it, Miss P?
Well, here, get yourself a new one.
Thank you. We thank you very much, Mr. Gross. Let's go.
Good morning. Good morning.
Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Gross.
Any idea what this is?
Oh, this is a very important office memorandum, Mr. Gross.
Looks like a hodgepodge of entirely haphazard groups of letters.
Oh, perhaps at first glance, but in fact there's method in it. It's written in Pitadepi, you see.
What?
In Pitadepi.
What's that?
Oh, a new office language which is being introduced into our organization. May I go and get the milk?
There's a new language being introduced into our organization? I don't remember having been informed.
They must have forgotten to tell you. May I go and get the milk?
Who thought it up?
It seems to be a full-scale campaign. Elsie said it's being introduced into their department, too.
Does my deputy realize what's going on?
Mr. Ballas? Oh, of course he does. May I go and get the milk?
Run along. Are you here again?
Yes, we are. We've come to tell you that we've just purchased a brand new incoming mail book. It's lying on Miss Keller's desk. Isn't it, Miss P?
Good.
But the Department of Authentication refuses to authenticate it.
Why?
The new book hasn't been registered by the purchasing department on account of it not being purchased with department funds. So, legally, it doesn't exist. Does it, Miss P?
Say I ask them to authenticate it on my personal responsibility. My position's solid now. I think I can go that far.
Excellent. Would you mind giving to that to us in writing? It would simplify things a great deal.
I would. I don't mind taking risks, but I'm not a gambler. A verbal order will have to do.
Well, then, we must try to talk them into accepting it. All right, let's go, Miss B.
Just a moment, Mr. Ballas.
Yes, Mr. Gross.
You know anything about a new language?
I seem to have heard something about it. I do recall Miss Piller told me something about it a long time ago. Didn't you, Miss P?
Do you also recall who ordered its introduction into our organization?
Who was it, Miss P? Do you know?
You are my deputy, aren't you?
Yes.
Well then, I didn't order it, so it could only have been you.
Well, one gives them so many orders every day, one can't be expected to remember them all.
Don't you realize you ought to consult me on such matters?
Well, we didn't want to bother you with trifles.
Actually, why is it being introduced?
As sort of an experiment, it's supposed to make office communications more accurate and introduce precision and order into their terminology. Am I putting it correctly, Miss B?
Was it ordered from above?
Not directly.
To tell you the truth, I'm far from happy about it. You'll have to find some way to stop the whole thing. We don't want to be somebody's guinea pig, do we?
No, we don't. All right, I'll cancel my directive and try to retrieve all the pedantic texts that's been sent out so far and have them translated back into natural language. Good morning.
Kindly do that.
We don't want to be someone's guinea pig, do we?
Exactly.
Let's go, Miss P.
May I?
Yes, of course, Mr. Gross.
Strange relationship between those two.
Oh, I know a great many particulars about it.
I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. They're both exceptionally good workers. The rest is not my business. Thank God I've nipped it in the bud. Did they seriously think anybody would want to learn this gibberish?
Special pedantic classes have been set up for all departments.
You mean anybody join them?
Everybody except you, Mr. Gross.
Really?
It was an order.
Whose order?
Mr. Ballas.
What? He didn't tell me anything about that. Anyway, I fail to see how our staff could be expected to use this pity dippy when most of them couldn't possibly have learned it.
That's why a Pididepe Translation Center has been set up, but it's supposed to be only temporary until everybody has learned Pididepe. Then it'll become the Pididepe Reference Center. May I go and get the rolls?
Well, a translation center. Where on earth did they find room for it all?
The translation center is on the first floor, room 6.
But that's the accounts department.
The accounts department has been moved to the cellar.
Also
May
on
May I go and get the rolls?
Also on his order?
Yes.
That's too much.
May I go and get the rolls?
Run along. Now what?
Mr. Gross, I'm afraid you'll have to give us that order in writing after all.
I'll do nothing of the sort.
It would be in your own interest.
What do you mean, in my own interest?
If you'll give us the order in writing, you'll greatly simplify the work of our clerical staff. They won't have to fill out a special voucher to go with each incoming letter you see. And in view of the rumors which have been circulating among them lately, I would certainly be a good tactical move on your part. Am I not right, Miss P?
What rumors?
Oh, about that unfortunate rubber stamp?
Rubber stamp? What rubber stamp?
Apparently, during the last inventory, it transpired that you are in the habit of taking the bank endorsement stamp home for your children to play with.
That's ridiculous. Of course I've taken that particular rubber stamp home a few times, but not as a plaything. There are nights when I have to take my work home to get it all done.
You don't have to explain it to us, Mr. Gross, but you know how people are.
And you think that you want to smooth things over?
I'll guarantee you that.
Well, all right then. As far as I'm concerned, have it typed up and I'll sign it.
Here we are, Mr. Gross. Thank you, Mr. Gross. We thank you very much in the name of the entire organization. Let's go, Miss P.
Mr. Ballas.
Yes, Mr. Gross.
Have you canceled the introduction of Pity Dippy yet?
Not yet.
Why not?
Well, you see, we've been waiting for the right moment. There doesn't seem to be the right sort of atmosphere among the authorities at this time. We wouldn't like it to be used against us, would we, Miss B?
That's just an excuse.
Mr. Gross, you don't believe us, and we're hurt.
You bypassed me. You moved the accounts department to the cellar.
That's only half the truth.
What's the other half?
That I've ordered a ventilator to be installed in the cellar next year. Miss B, speak up. Didn't I give such an order?
What about the light?
The temporary accountant has brought a candle from her home.
Well, let's hope so.
Miss P, speak up. Isn't this so? Didn't she have a candle? Well, she doesn't spend all her time. But she did. You can go see for yourself.
Be that as it may, you bypassed me. You organized Pity Dippy classes. You set up a Pity Dippy translation center. And you made the study of Pity Dippy obligatory for all staff members.
Outside their work hours.
That's beside the point.
Mr. Gross, I fully agree that I may not bypass you in things concerning the activity of our staff during their work hours. But as for anything outside these hours, I believe that I can do as I please.
I don't know quite what answer to give you at this moment, but I'm sure there's a fitting one.
Perhaps there is. Perhaps there isn't. In any case, at this point we're not concerned with anything but the good of our organization, are we, Ms. P? Naturally, we hold the same critical attitude towards Pity Dippy that you do, Mr. Gross. Only we think that if before the inevitable collapse of the whole campaign, we can manifest certain limited initiative, it'll be of great help to the entire organization. Who knows, this very initiative may become the basis on which we are granted the snack bar which we've been trying to get for so long. Imagine our staff would no longer have to travel all that way for their coffee break.
All right. It's quite possible that in this way we might indeed get the snack bar. This, however, in no way changes the fact that you bypassed me a number of times and that lately you've been taking far too many decisions on your own authority.
I beg your pardon. Haven't we just been consulting you about trifles as a new incoming mail book? You're not being fair to us, Mr. Gross. You're not being fair at all.
Mr. Ballas, let me make a suggestion.
Yes?
Let's be quite blunt with each other for a while, shall we? It'll simplify the situation a great deal and speed up the clarification of our points of view.
Shall we accept, Miss D? We accept.
Why do you say you hold a critical attitude towards Pity Dippy and you're only interested in a snack bar when, in fact, you believe in Pity Dippy and do everything you can to get it quickly introduced?
Matter of tactics.
A little short-sighted.
I wouldn't say so.
It never occurred to you that sooner or later I'd see through your tactics?
We knew you'd create obstacles, and therefore we arranged it so you wouldn't see what we were up to until we were very strong. There's nothing you can do to stop us now. The overwhelming majority of the staff stands resolutely behind us, because they know that only Pity Dippy can place their work on a truly scientific basis. Isn't that so, Miss B?
You seem to forget that it is I who bear the full responsibility for our organization, I in whom the trust has been placed. Thus, it is up to me to judge what is good for our organization and what is not. So far, it is I who am the managing director.
We cannot ignore the stand of the masses.
I won't be dictated to by a mob.
You call it a mob. We call it the masses.
You call it masses, but it's a mob. I'm a humanist, and my concept of directing this organization derives from the idea that every single member of the staff is human and must become more and more human. If we take from him this human language created by the centuries-old tradition of national culture, we shall have prevented him from becoming fully human and plunging straight into the jaws of self-alienation. I'm not against precision in official communications, but I'm only for it in so far as it humanizes man. In accordance with this, my innermost conviction, I can never agree to the introduction of Pity Dippy into our organization.
What do you say to this, Miss P?
I place the struggle for the victory of reason and of moral values above the peace brought by their loss. I suggest to you that we all forget what has just happened between us and that we part in peace before I'm forced to take the whole matter seriously.
It seems he's not ripe yet for a realistic discussion. You've overrated him. Never mind. Let's give him, say, an hour. Time is on our side. An hour from now, we'll no longer be handling him with kid gloves. The patience of the masses is great. But it's not infinite. He'll be sorry. Let's go.
Unheard of! Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Gross?
Do you know Pity Dippy?
No.
Then how did you know this was an official memorandum?
They say that in the first stage, Pity Dippy was used only for important official memoranda, and that these are now being received by some of the staff.
What are these memos about?
Oh, they are supposed to inform the recipients about decisions based on the findings of the last audit in their departments.
Indeed. What sorts of decisions?
Oh, all sorts of things. Very positive and very negative ones.
Damn, that rubber stamp. Where did you learn all this?
Oh, in the dairy shop this morning.
Where did you say the translation center is?
First floor, room 6. To get to it, one must go through the Pitadepi classroom.
Ah, yes. Former accounts department.
Well, I'm off to lunch.
Oh, you'll like it, Mr. Gross. They have Senegalese rice in the canteen today.
The Pitadepi classroom.
Pitadepi, as you know, is a synthetic language built on a strictly scientific basis. Its grammar is constructed with maximum rationality. Its vocabulary is unusually broad. It is a thoroughly exact language capable of expressing with far greater precision than any current natural tongue all the minutest nuances in the formulation of important office documents. The result of this precision is, of course, the exceptional complexity and difficulty of Pitadepi. There are many months of intensive study ahead of you, which can be crowned by success only if it is accompanied by diligence, perseverance, discipline, talent, and a good memory. And of course, by faith. Without a steadfast faith in Pitadepi, nobody yet has ever been able to learn Pitadepi. And now, let us turn briefly to some of the basic principles of Pitadepi. The natural languages originated, as we know, spontaneously, uncontrollably, in other words, unscientifically. And their structure is thus, in a certain sense, dilettantish. As far as official communications are concerned, the most serious deficiency of the natural languages is their utter unreliability, which results from the fact that their basic structural units, words, are highly equivocal and interchangeable. You all know that in a natural language, it is often enough to exchange one letter for another. Goat, boat, love, dove, or simply remove one letter, fox, ox, and the whole meaning of the word is thus changed. And then there are all the homonyms. Consider what terrible mischief can be caused in inter-office communications when two words with entirely different meanings are spelled exactly the same way. P-O-S-S-U-M, possum, possum. The first designating an American small burial or aquatic nocturnal marsupial mammal with thumb hind foot. The second, the Latin equivalent of I am able. Such a thing is quite unthinkable in Pitadepi. The significant aim of Pitadepi is to guarantee to every statement, by purposefully limiting all similarities between individual words, a degree of precision, reliability, and lack of equivocation, quite unattainable in any natural language. To achieve this, Pitadepi makes use of the following postulation. If similarities between any two words is to be minimized, the words must be formed by the least probable combination of letters, thus reducing the possibility that by any interchange of a letter, by an oversight or a typing error, the meaning of the text could be altered. And by consistent use, of the so-called principle of a 60% dissimilarity, which means that any Pitadepi word must differ by at least 60% of its letters from any other Pitadepi word of the same length. Thus, for example, out of all the possible 5-letter combinations of the 26 letters of our alphabet, and these are 11,881,376, only 17 fulfill requirements and thus have become Pitadepi words. Hence, it is clear that in Pitadepi there are often words which are very long indeed.
Ma'am?
Yes?
Would you please tell us which is the longest word in Pitadepi?
Certainly. It is the word meaning a wombat, which has 319 letters. But the length of a word, as indeed everything in Pitadepi, is not left to chance. You see, the vocabulary of Pitadepi is built according to an entirely logical principle. The more common the meaning, the shorter the word. Thus, for example, the most commonly used term so far known, that is the term whatever, is rendered in Pitadepi by the word guh. As you can see, it is a word consisting of only 2 letters. There exists, however, an even shorter word. But this word does not yet carry any meaning. I wonder if any of you can tell me why. Well, yes, Ms. Thumb.
It's being held in reserve in case science should discover a term even more commonly used than the term whatever.
Correct, Miss Thumb. You get an A.
Translation Center. I'm the managing director.
Oh, so you're the managing director.
Yeah, Joseph Gross.
Well, very glad to meet you. I'm Stroll, head of the Translation Center. Do sit down. Well, everything here, so to speak, is still at the diaper stage.
I understand.
We're still grappling with a few teething ideas, you know.
That's clear enough.
Well, it's no easy matter, you know.
No, quite.
Tell me, exactly, what would you like to find out?
I'd like to see how you organize the process of making translations. Do you do that while one waits?
We'll make a translation for Pitadepe while you wait, for any member of our organization who is a citizen of our country and has an authorization to have a Pitadepe text translated.
Does one need a special authorization?
Morning, Otto. Have you heard that there's goose for lunch today?
What? Did you say goose?
That's what the chaps at the secretariat said. Meet you at the canteen, right?
Right away. Spare no time. What were we talking about?
You were saying that one needs an authorization to get a translation made.
Right. Well, look here. We, the staff, do use Pitadepe, but we're no experts. Let's face it, we're no linguists, are we? So naturally, the exploitation and development of Pitadepe cannot be left in our hands alone. If it were, it might lead to unwelcome spontaneity, and Pitadepe might quite easily change under our very noses into a normal, natural language, and thus lose its whole purpose. Excuse me.
Who's Alex here?
I don't know who that is.
You're not part of this shop, hon?
On the contrary, I'm the managing director.
Are you? Well, you must do something about this snack bar. It's a damn shame to see our girl trade smiles for a cup of tea. It really is. Does anyone think about the people in this shop?
Who, may I ask, are you?
I'm the chairman, but you can call me Nellie.
The chairman of what, if you'll forgive my asking?
Of what? Don't know of what just yet. As a matter of fact, we're having a meeting about that very thing this afternoon. But I'm already so damn busy, I don't know which way to turn. They don't give you time to have a proper look around, and they expect you to start cleaning up their smelly little messes straight away. Well, I'll see you.
You don't like goose, do you?
I do. You were saying that Pitadepe cannot be left only in your hands?
Right. And that's why every department which starts to introduce Pitadepe is assigned a special method edition, a so-called Pitadepist, who, being a specialist, is supposed to ensure that Pitadepe gets used correctly.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Our Pitadepist fulfills this task by issuing for every translation a special authorization, which enables him to record all outgoing translations from Pitadepe. Thus, he obtains all the necessary information, necessary material for various statistics on the basis of which he then directs the use of Pitadepe.
So, if I've understood you correctly, you'll give a translation only to those staff members who can produce an authentication from your Pitadepist.
Right.
Be ready.
Where are my tools?
Who is your Pitadepist?
Are they clean?
Of course.
What?
Who is your pity deafest?
Dr. Savant here.
How do you do? I'm Joseph Gross, the managing director.
How do you do? I'm Alex Savant, the graduate pedidepis. A degree is like a doctorate, you know.
I'd like a word with you, Dr. Savant.
Are you going to ask for brush?
I'm sorry, Mr. Gross, but we really must go right now, and shouldn't want to miss it. I prefer leg.
Have you got a Rolo by chance?
I'm sorry, I don't eat Rolos.
What's that?
Rolos.
May I take one?
Oh no, they belong to Mr. Stroll. He counts them. He'd be terribly angry if you ate one.
Guess who?
I beg your pardon.
Guess who?
Take your hands off me at once.
Come on, guess. Who am I?
The district inspector.
Nope.
The regional inspector.
No.
The inspector general?
No.
Scott?
No.
Jim?
No.
Stop it. You're being very silly.
Shall I tell you?
Will you please?
Oh, you're not Alex? Sorry, hon. I thought it was Alex Savant. Hasn't he showed up yet?
Charming manners.
He's gone to lunch.
Sergey, aren't you? What the hell? It was just a bit of fun. I'll see ya.
You got any Rolos?
Mr. Gross, you already asked that. Reports?
Good God, it wouldn't hurt him, would it?
Oh, great. That was simply delicious. Just right. The way it was cooked, straight through.
I think it was better last time.
Not juicy enough. The very best is the time before last.
Dr. Savant.
Would you, Maria, would you go and see if Mr. Langer is having his lunch today? If not, ask him whether I can have his voucher, please.
Dr. Savant.
Not bad, eh?
Well, rather pleasant.
Sexy little thing, isn't she?
Dr. Savant.
Her? Sexy? Come off it.
Yeah?
I understand that you can authorize the making of a translation from P.D. Dibby.
Yes, for those who bring me their documents.
What do you mean? What sort of document?
Personal registration. Thanks. Thanks. Thanks.
I'm sorry. Could you sell me a Rolo?
I wish I could, but I only have 5 left.
Oh, I see. I'm sorry. Why do you actually need the personal registration documents?
She is sexy, you know. Just wait till somebody catches her in the dark. What did you say?
Why do you actually need the personal registration documents?
Well, it's like this. Although I've been employed by this organization, I'm no common garden staff member. I am, as you well know, a scholar of a new sort, of course, as everything about Petadepe is new. And as such, I naturally take certain, shall we say, exceptions to some rather bureaucratic procedures of my staff colleagues. As a matter of fact, it's not really exceptions I take, it's more like objections. No, objections isn't the right word either. How should I put it? I'm sorry, you see, I'm used to speaking in Petadepe, and it's rather difficult for me to find the right words in a natural language.
Please, go on.
Benedepi, one would say Axisaurus.
I mean, how is Fodule?
Shavar habits?
Rizzle, rizzle, rizzle.
Ongi habaju, feeb tibi. They think they can simply send me a chat. I'll give them an okay, and that'll be the end of it. If our statistics are to make any sense at all, we must have concrete foundations to build on. We must have detailed information about everybody who comes in contact with Petadepe in order to get the greatest possible variety of psychological and sociological data.
Wouldn't it be enough if a chap just told you everything about himself you wanted to know?
I wouldn't guarantee that everything was hut put.
I beg your pardon?
Hut put. Quite exact.
Mr. Langer will definitely be eating his lunch today.
Pity.
Excuse me. You were speaking about the uncertainties of verbal statements.
Oh, yeah. Well, no. All the particulars concerning each employee have long been recorded with the greatest precision and without any possible subjective zextoid. I'm sorry, point of view.
I understand. I'm completely hut-put zextoid about it.
For God knows every noun preceded by the adjective hut-put takes on the suffix tet.
Or tete.
Or tete. Boy, many people make this mistake.
Excuse me, you were speaking about the advantages of personal registration documents.
Yes? Well, no. The personal registration documents often record things which even the particular employee doesn't know about himself. Zuzenpam?
Zapam, yednik fair reveal zizahua.
Yednik, yednik.
To sum up, you'll authorize a translation only for those members of the staff who can produce their documents. All right, then. Where does one get them?
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody. Hello.
You know whose birthday it is? Eddie Clements.
Eddie's? Is it?
There's a do going on for him next door, so drop everything and come along. It seems the grocer's got lines. Would you mind running over and getting me eight?
What are they drinking?
Vodka.
You hear that, Otto?
You haven't told me where one gets these documents yet.
Why, right here, from our chairman. Nellie, of course.
Miss Helena.
What?
I'd like a word with you.
Oh, later, hon. You'll have to wait.
Here?
Where else?
You mean, you don't mind leaving me here all alone with all this classified material and all that?
You won't be alone. There's a chink in the wall. You're being watched by our staff watcher.
Gracious, a chink?
Wouldn't be much good if he was actually in here. That way he'd be able to watch only one office, wouldn't he? This way he can watch five of them at once. You see, his cubicle is surrounded by offices, and each is furnished with an observation cubicle. So all he has to do is to walk at random, watch from one to another and peer.
Interesting idea.
Isn't it? And it's my idea, too. My point was to stop visitors from having to hang about in the hall when the office is empty. Bloody nuisance, isn't it? Even in these piddling details, one must be thinking of the good of the people. We'll see ya. Don't bother. It's well disguised.
I should say it is. One might make use of this idea in other departments as well.
Not likely. This kind of thing has to be planned by the architect from the very start.
Oh, I see what you mean. On the other hand, he couldn't very well have planned it for here.
He didn't. He made a mistake in his calculations, and when this building was erected, it was found that there was this space left over between the offices, so it was used in this way.
A really stimulating idea. What's the matter?
I got my purse.
You know Pity Dippy?
A bit.
Can you translate it?
Oh, I'm strictly forbidden to make any translations until I pass my exams.
But, on my authority, you might try to make a translation, mightn't you? It doesn't have to be perfect, you know. What's so funny about it?
You wouldn't understand. It's impossible, that's all.
What's your name?
Maria.
Maria. A pretty name.
You like it?
Very much, Maria. Just for once, nobody will know about it.
Mr. Gross, somebody might walk in any minute. Please be reasonable.
Go on, sweetheart.
What about the staff watcher?
You could whisper the translation to me.
Oh, the lines will soon be sold out. Miss Helena will be angry. I've got to go.
Mr. Watcher? Mr. Watcher? Listen, Mr. Watcher. Can you hear me? Have you got a Rollo? You must have fallen asleep.
What do you mean, fallen asleep?
Well, why didn't you answer me?
I wanted to test you out.
I beg your pardon. Don't you realize who I am? I'm the managing director.
Habuck Bulligan.
I beg your pardon?
Habuck Bulligan Aberator.
What do you mean by that?
Noodleput.
I won't put up with any abuse from you. I expect you to come to me and apologize.
Go try.
The director's office.
Well, the hour's passed. Ready to be more sensible?
Certainly not.
As you may have noticed, the introduction of Petadepi into our organization successfully proceeds. What are you going to do about it?
Put a stop to it.
Mr. Gross, may I go and get the chocolate?
How?
By issuing an order that the introduction of Petadepi be stopped and its use canceled.
You cannot.
Why not?
You never issued any order for its introduction and use, so you're in no position to cancel or stop anything.
Then you'll do it.
I haven't issued any such order either. Have I, Miss B?
Mr. Gross, may I go and get the chocolates?
What do you mean?
It was just a verbal directive based on assurance that you would validate it by a supplementary order.
Then I'll simply not give any supplementary order.
Mr. Gross, may I go and get the chocolates?
The introduction to Petadepi is in full swing, and it will naturally go on even without it. Run along.
In that case, I'll report the whole thing to the authorities.
Ha! Did you hear that, Miss B? He doesn't know that the authorities have taken a great fancy to Petadepi.
If that's the case, then why haven't they made its use obligatory in all organizations?
Playing it safe, of course. If Petadepi succeeds, they'll have plenty of time to take credit for it. If it fails, they'll be able to disassociate themselves from it and blame it on the departments.
I hope you don't expect me to be a traitor to my beliefs.
I do.
How do you propose to make me?
Do you see this book? Not long ago, it was improperly authenticated by your order, although it had not been registered by the purchasing department, making it your own property. Do you know what that constitutes? Abuse of authority.
Good God, don't you make yourself sick?
Do we make ourselves sick, Miss B? Of course not. The good of humanity is at stake. Of course we don't make ourselves sick.
But you yourself got me to sign it.
I did?
By your hands about the rumors concerning that damn rubber stamp.
I wouldn't bring that up if I were you.
Why not?
Because it's no extenuating circumstance at all. Just the reverse, in fact.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you? If it weren't for this rubber stamp affair, you might have claimed that you signed the authentication of this book moved by a sincere desire to help our clerical staff. Which, of course, wouldn't have excused your conduct, but would have explained it somewhat on humanitarian grounds. By publicizing the circumstance which you consider extenuating, you would leave nobody in doubt whatever about the real motives of your conduct. Well then, shall we come to an agreement?
All right. I'll resign.
Well, we don't want you to resign.
Well, what do you want me to do?
Sign the supplementary order in for the introduction and use of Petadepi in the organization.
But you said, didn't you, that Petadepi will be used even without a supplementary order. Why do you want one now?
That's our business.
Are you sure that Petadepi will really make office communications more precise?
I'm glad our discussion is at last reaching a realistic level. Miss Pillar, would you give Mr. Gross some milk? Look here. You yourself know best how many misunderstandings, suspected innuendos, injustices, and injuries can be contained in one single sentence of natural language. In fact, the natural language endows many more or less precise terms, such as, for example, the word color, with so many wrong, let's say emotional overtones that can entirely distort the innocent and eminently human content of these terms. Now, tell me sincerely, has the word Mutarex any significance for you? It hasn't. Has it? You see? It's a paradox. It's precisely the surface inhumanity of an artificial language that guarantees its truly humanistic function. After Petadepi comes into use, no one will ever again have the impression that he's being injured when in fact he's being helped. And thus everybody will be much happier.
You've convinced me. Have the supplementary order for the introduction of Petadepi in our organization typed and bring it to me for a signature.
Mr. Gross, we are overjoyed that you have grasped the demands of the times. We look forward to your work in the future under your expert and enlightened leadership. Here's the type request. Well. That's that. Aren't you hungry, Miss P? I believe that from now on, we'll be working very closely together.
We'll have to. Without your help, it'd probably be rather hard for me to find my bearings in this new situation. Perhaps at the beginning, we shan't be able to avoid directing the organization, so to speak, hand in hand.
I have a better idea. What about me being the director and you being the deputy? Won't that make things much easier?
But you said, didn't you, that you were looking forward to working under my expert and enlightened leadership.
You will be able to use your expert enlightenment just as well as deputy. I'll go and get my things while you, Mr. Gross, kindly move out of my desk.
As you wish, Mr. Ballas. Things do seem to be moving rather fast.
Mr. Gross!
There's nothing else I could do. An open conflict would have meant I'd be finished. This way, as deputy director, I can salvage this and that.
Mr. Gross!
Anyway, who knows? Maybe this Petadepi will turn out to be a good thing after all, if we grasp the reins firmly and with intelligence.
Mr. Gross!
What is it?
May I go and get my lunch?
Run along. Why can't I be a little boy again? I do everything differently from the beginning.
The Translation Center. Sorry, the Petadepi Classroom.
Historically, the natural languages originated in all probability through the development of the inarticulate shrieks by which a primitive creature expressed his basic reactions to the surrounding world. The very oldest group of words is thus the interjections. At the same time, the interjections form an unusually easy part of Petadepi, which is quite obvious as their frequency in inter-office communications is rather limited. This is why the interjections will form the first few lessons of your curriculum. Well then, let us proceed to the interjections. As you know, every word of a natural language, including the interjections, has several Petadepi equivalents, which differentiate in several shades of meaning. To start with, for each interjection we shall learn only one, the most common expression in Petadepi. Nevertheless, as an example, I'd like to demonstrate to you, through the Petadepi renderings of the interjection boo, how rich and precise is Petadepi, even in this marginal sphere.
Ma'am?
What is it?
I do hate to interrupt, but I have with me a little Petadepi text, and I was wondering if, just as a refresher, you know, it might not be a good thing for your colleagues here to acquaint themselves with the actual shape of Petadepi.
Perhaps if you read it aloud and then possibly translated it, it might be of interest to the class.
I'm quite prepared to read your text. That is, provided you can show that your interest in Petadepe is vital, and you're not just trying to interfere with the class. You may sit down. Generally speaking, the interjection boo is used in the daily routine of an office, a company, a large organization when one employee wants to sham and bush another. In those cases where the endangerment of an employee who is in full view and quite unprepared for the impending bush another employee who is also in full view in case it is meant as a joke. Isetayedardorf is used by a superior wishing to test out the vigilance of a subordinate. Isetjezernax is used, on the contrary, by the subordinate toward a superior, but only on the day specially appointed for this purpose. And now let me see if you've been paying attention. Who can tell me how one says boo in Petadepe when a hidden employee wants to sham and bush another employee who is in full view and quite unprepared for the danger? Miss Thumb.
Getting rellum.
Correct. And when the imperiled employee is aware of the danger? Mr. Gross?
Danger menacing an employee who is in full view?
Yes.
Who is aware of the danger?
Yes.
And the perpetrator is hidden?
Yes.
I see. Well, in that case, one says, damn it, it was just on the tip of my tongue.
Miss Thumb, do you know?
Austin Furtick.
There you are. You see how easy it is. Well, let's take another case, shall we? For example, how would a superior say boo when he wishes to test out the vigilance of a subordinate? Mr. Gross.
Superior?
Yes.
The diligence of a subordinate.
Yes.
I say, I think I know this one.
Well, then what is it?
We're translating the interjection boo, right?
Yes.
I'm sure I know it, only it's slipped my mind.
Well, Ms. Thumb.
You stay at her door.
Correct, Ms. Thumb. Well, shall we try once more? Third time luck never fails, huh? Let's see if you can tell us, for example, how does an employee who has not taken the precaution or the time or the trouble to hide say boo if he wants to sham ambush another employee who is also in full view when it is meant in earnest? Mr. Gross.
I'm afraid I don't know.
Let me help you. Egg.
Egg. Egg. Egg.
Jet.
Yeah, I remember now. Egg jet.
Wrong. Miss Thumb, would you mind telling him?
Egg jet could.
Correct. Eggjet doesn't mean anything at all. Those are only two subwords of the word eggjet cuz.
The third subword escaped me.
Unfortunately, the first two subwords also escaped you. One cannot avoid concluding that in your case, it is not merely a matter of average inattentiveness or negligence, but of that particular inability to learn any Petadepe whatsoever, which stems from a profound and well-disguised doubt in its very sense. Under these circumstances, I don't see why I should oblige you by reading out loud and, what's more, translating an unauthorized text. Kajak pazat bijot!
Goodness, so much fuss about three little words.
Let us proceed. Ms. Thumb, can you tell us how a subordinate says boo to a superior in Petadepe on the day specially appointed for this purpose?
Zap, sir, next.
Correct, Ms. Thumb. You get an A.
The Translation Center.
Miss Helena is next door?
Yes, they're celebrating Mr. Clement's birthday.
Do you think she might come in here for a moment?
I'll ask. Mr. Gross?
Yes?
You're not the managing director?
I'm his deputy now.
Forgive me for asking, but what happened?
Well, we just exchanged jobs, Mr. Ballas and I.
Well, deputy director is also a very responsible position.
It is, isn't it? As a matter of fact, to some extent, it's even more responsible than the director's. I can remember, for instance, that when I was director, my deputy often solved some of the most important problems for me. Will Miss Elena come?
I'm afraid you'll have to wait a little bit. Come here, Mom.
Watcher.
What is it?
We're friends again, aren't we?
Oh, well, why not?
Mr. Watcher.
What now?
Aren't you celebrating?
I'm following a party through the chink.
Does it look like it'll be a long one?
That finished the vodka.
How then?
I bet she was shy.
To start with, but then...
Then what?
Well, you know what.
Come off it. I bet you made up that part about Yaksha Yabble.
Absolutely not. Literal truth, down to the last letter.
Come off it.
Mind you, if it hadn't been for Kojafar Bazal Gafti, we'd have certainly Ludafar Deborah Roach.
Does she, actually?
I'm telling you, she's a wild one. Rolos and whiskey and wild, wild women.
How old is she, by the way?
16.
Oh, I prefer a teensy-weensy bit younger myself.
Hey, everybody, let's have some coffee.
That sounds great. Where's Maria?
Sexy little thing? Mr. Ghost might know.
I beg your pardon?
You told your sweetheart. The staff watcher heard you.
You've talked too much, Alex.
Listen, why don't you shut up and do your watching?
Now, friends. Maria!
Maria, Maria, Maria!
Oh, leave her alone, hon. She ironed my slip. I'll get the coffee.
You won't mind, Mr. Gross, will you? If we don't offer you any coffee. We've very little left, you see. It'll just about make three cups.
Never mind. I don't really care for any.
Nellie! Mr. Gross doesn't care for any coffee. So, make it three cups, but make a double one for me, will you? I say, what about a Rolo with the coffee?
That's a pot.
Miss Elena?
Now, that's what I call a Rolo.
Excuse me. May I, if you'd sell me one?
Sorry, Mr. Gross. I wouldn't recommend it. I really wouldn't. They're awfully heavy, you know, and you're not used to them. I'm sure they'd make you hyper.
Just one?
I mean it. You'd be making a big mistake.
Miss Elena?
Oh, why don't you call me Nellie, hon? What is it?
Miss Nellie, do you issue the documents one needs to get a translation authorized?
What a Rolo.
I said, do you issue the documents one needs to get a translation authorized?
What?
Do you issue the documents one needs to get a translation authorized?
Yes, to anybody who hasn't received a memo written in Heta Dipe.
Why?
I'm right heady.
I should say.
I said, why?
Why what?
Why this condition?
Because I cannot be expected to give the documents of personal registration to every Tom, Dick, and Harry without making damn sure they don't conflict with the findings of the last audit in his blessed memo.
Why can't you just look at his memo and see what it says?
Poor Zora Burdell. You see only Rolos. And he was a real gourmet.
He passed away.
Yeah.
I said, why?
Why what?
Why can't you look at his memo and see what it says?
I'm forbidden to translate any petty debate texts.
Good gracious, what's a staff member to do in such a case?
Mr. Bedell loved Goose, didn't he?
Zorro, Yes, simply mad about it.
What can a staff member do in such a case?
What?
What can a staff member do in such a case?
He can have his memo translated. Listen, everybody. Today, your copy is Hip Negyip.
Negyip Avalex?
Negyip Hathias.
Mr. Stroll.
Havizit Gyp Andexi.
And that's
yes.
That.
In order to make a translation from Pity Dippy, you require an authorization from Mr. Savant.
Ellis Kapp.
I toot Zepp. No toot?
Dr. Savant.
Toot. Glivit says Ligoritz.
Yes?
Ligoritz Negyip.
In order to grant the authorization, you require the documents from Miss Helena.
Ligoris Navarov, Dizor Bedell, Seth O. Abagan.
Navabold Abagan?
Miss Helena?
Abagan Fujorfov. Yes?
Fajfor, New Rashaj.
In order to issue the documents, you require that a staff member have his memorandum translated.
Rashiv Gun.
Gunjnadjev.
Jnodjev Yuj.
Yurashi?
Quiet! I'm the deputy director, and I insist that you show me some respect. You may sit down. As I've just discovered, any staff member who has recently received a memorandum in Pity Dippy can only be granted a translation of a Pity Dippy text after his memorandum has been translated. But what happens if the Pity Dippy text in which he wants translated is precisely that memorandum? It can't be done because it hasn't yet officially been translated. In other words, the only way to learn what is in one's memo is to know it already. An extraordinary paradox when you come to think of it. Ladies and gentlemen, I ask you, what must an employee of our organization, whoever he may be, do in order to escape this vicious, vicious circle?
He must learn Petadepi, Mr. Gross. You may all sit down.
Are you here?
Yes, we are.
Have you been here long?
Not long.
I didn't hear you come in.
We entered quietly.
Excuse me, I...
There are things, Mr. Gross, that cannot be excused. And when at the very time the whole organization is conducting a courageous struggle for the introduction and establishment of Petadepi, an official referring to the activities of our employees speaks with such malicious innuendo and mean irony as, I quote, a vicious, vicious circle, then it cannot be excused at all.
I'm sorry, Mr. Ballas. The circumstances I've allowed myself to point out are simply fact. I plead guilty. I acknowledge that the entire extent of my guilt is true, while fully realizing the consequences resulting from it. Furthermore, I wish to enlarge my confession by the following self-indictment. I issued an illegal order which led to the fraudulent authentication of my own personal notebook. By this action, I abused my authority. I did this in order to avert attention from the fact that I had appropriated a bank endorsement stamp improperly for my private use. I request for myself the most severe punishment.
I think that under these circumstances, it is no longer possible for him to remain in our organization. What do you say, Ms. B? Certainly not. Come to my office tomorrow morning. We'll settle the formalities connected with your dismissal. George, come out of there. George, you'll be my deputy. You may leave now. Let's go, Ms. B.
Got some fresh limes. Would you please mind running over there and getting me 10?
The director's office. Ok uta. Ok ted. Yell. Umbert. Usum. Regdiv. Yik. Orts. Uner. Dick. You don't know Petadepi, do you? Well, you might have learned it by now.
Excuse me. I hope I'm not interrupting. Fairy, could I see you for a moment, please?
Fairy?
Good morning.
Are you here?
Well, I haven't been here long.
What do you want?
I was supposed to come to your office today concerning my dismissal from our organization, Mr. Ballas.
I'm busy right now. Come back later.
Sorry. Thank you. I'll come back later.
What did he want?
Good morning.
Morning. Hannah?
Yes, Mr. Ballas?
You know Petadepi, don't you?
I'm sorry I don't.
Why not? I thought you'd been going to the Petadepi classes.
Well, I used to, but I had to give them up. May I go and get the milk?
Why?
It was too hard for me. May I go and get the milk?
Aren't you ashamed? Secretary to the managing director and you don't know Petadepi?
May I go and get the milk?
Run along. Hope you don't end up like her.
Morning, Jane. Can you hurry a minute?
By all means.
Thanks. Goodbye.
Fair.
Good morning.
You're here again?
You said, Mr. Ballas, that I should come back in a while.
By which I didn't mean in such a short while.
Sorry, I'll come back later.
Listen.
Yes, Mr. Ballas?
Nothing.
Did you want something?
No, run along. What did he want? I don't like the way they're addressing you. Much too familiar. Now, Hannah, is Petadepi so difficult to learn?
It makes great demands on one's memory, Mr. Ballas.
Well, others seem to be able to learn it.
Oh, very few can, Mr. Ballas. Most of the staff have had to give it up.
Well, even when all give up, you should persevere.
But you also dropped out, Mr. Ballas, after the first lesson.
Well, that's different. I had to interrupt my studies for reasons of work. You think it's child play to be at the helm of this colossus? And what's more, in these times, try it sometime and you'll see.
But Petadepi really makes great demands on people. Besides, they say it's based on doubtful principles.
Who says
that? May I go and get the rolls?
Well, who says that?
Ms. Pillar here.
Surely not Ms. Pillar. And if by chance she did say such a thing, it was just in fun. Who on the staff actually knows Petadepi?
Only the teacher and the personnel of the translation center. May I go and get the rolls?
Run along. You talk too much. Far too much.
Hello, fairy love. Would you come? Well, see ya.
I'll teach you, fairy.
Morning.
You're here again?
You said, Mr. Ballas, that I should come back in a while.
By which I didn't mean in such a short while.
Sorry, I'll come back later. Sorry.
Listen.
Yes, Mr. Ballas?
Nothing.
Did you want something?
Well, I just wanted to say that I seem to have overdone it a bit yesterday. You know, there were so many people about, I wasn't sure who might be among them, and my nerves were a bit ruffled after all that had happened.
Thank you. You're very kind. Thank you. But the dismissal stands, doesn't it?
Dismissal? Well, for the moment, perhaps we needn't take such drastic measures. But you can't be my deputy, of course.
Of course not.
But there does happen to be an opening.
Is there? To do what?
The position of staff washer has been free.
Do you think I could handle it?
Well, why don't you give it a try for a while? We'll see how it works out.
Very kind of you, Mr. Ballas. When may I start?
All at once, if you like.
Thank you, Mr. Ballas. Thank you so much.
And what did she want? Don't you play games with me. Hannah, who else says that Petadepi is based on doubtful principles?
All except you, Mr. Ballas.
Don't exaggerate.
Really?
Well, what else do they say?
That it's only a matter of time before you find it out, too.
And this is the reward I get for all my work? Well, couldn't you at least translate this for me?
It could be either a memorandum concerning the last audit...
Hardly.
...or a protest.
What sort of protest?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, why should... It'd be a protest of all things.
It's being rumored that protests written in Petadepe get preferential treatment.
Where did you hear all this?
Oh, in the dairy shop this morning.
If anybody thinks that they can come and bring a protest here, I'm off for lunch.
Well, you'll like it, Mr. Ballas. They have lentil loaf in the canteen today.
The Petadepi classroom.
Now I shall name, just for the sake of preliminary orientation, some of the most common Petadepi interjections. Well then, our awe becomes zikibaj, our out becomes baku. The interjection of surprise, well, becomes zik. However, our well is not zik zik, as some students erroneously say, but zik some. Bang is a symbol of a shot or explosion becomes heterogy urj baba. Bang is a colloquial expression for sudden surprise as malaj ruse.
Ma'am?
What is it?
Would you mind telling us how one says oops in Petadepi?
Miko.
Thank you.
The poetic O is rendered in Petadepi by Hurla Gula. The ooh of a ghost is translated mostly as lemur, although I prefer the expression myri ubitur. Our very important hurrah becomes in Petadepi, Friday de Jula de Vasha Tidi de Diver de Ghost Texeres. And now a little test of your memory. Ow! Miss Thumb.
Very lega ibi de solas.
Eek! Miss Thumb.
Hatem.
Psst! Miss Thumb.
Sedudap.
Bang!
As the symbol of a shot?
No, is a colloquial expression for sudden surprise. Miss Thumb.
Malouz Road.
Malouz.
Malouz.
M-A-L-U-Z.
M-A-L-U-Z.
Listen carefully. Malouz.
Malouz.
Your pronunciation isn't too good. How do you say well?
Zeek.
And well, well?
Zeek, zeek.
Zeek, zum.
I'm sorry, I forgot.
Miss Thumb. Yippee.
We haven't learned yippee yet, ma'am.
Don't try to excuse yourself. You simply don't know it. Hurrah.
Renico Jeffer Davix Altet di Zavar Gop Texeres.
Ghost Texeres.
I mean Ghost Texeres.
Such an important word. No, no, Miss Summit, it won't work this way. I placed so many hopes in you and you have disappointed me. Yes, disappointed. This way our class would turn into what? Well, go on, answer me.
I don't know.
Then try.
A kindergarten?
No.
A reform school?
No.
Bedlam?
Quite correct. Bedlam. No, no. Under these circumstances, I can't let you carry on with your studies. You'd only slow down the class and hold up the other students. Please leave the classroom. Let us proceed. A low becomes Chabot. Gosh, I'm translated as Kalibad. The American G becomes Hopro Gavator, who is translated as...
The Translation Center.
Here are the onions, Miss Helena. Would you mind putting them by the filing cabinet? That's a good girl.
Oh,
salutes you. Don't be afraid. It's only me, Gross.
Oh, but where are you?
I'm a staff watcher now.
You? No!
Yes, Mr. Ballas dropped my dismissal, and he's letting me work here for a trial period.
You, the staff watcher?
Very much so. And in the given circumstances, it really seems the best solution for me. I only wish I could get used to the lack of space.
Goodness, and I found you a job, too.
Have you? What sort of job?
With a theater group.
But I can't act.
You could always manage a bit part. There's always bits parts cropping up, you know, a butler, a messenger, a workman, that sort of thing. Well, anyway, if worse came to worse, you could prompt the actors.
Yes, perhaps. Are you somehow connected with the theater?
My brother works for them.
It isn't it odd?
Yes?
Isn't it odd? I have to look at you all the time.
Mr. Gross!
It seems the grocers have got some cantaloupes. Would you mind running over and getting me 10?
Where are my rolls? Are you there?
But of course, Mr. Ballas.
Well, how goes it?
Very well, thank you.
Many strangers?
Only 3 visitors in number 5.
Alone in the office?
One, for a moment.
Behaved?
Decently.
Good, I think you'll manage. Anything else?
Sorry, but what else, precisely?
Well, for example, what sort of things are being said about Petadepi among the staff?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bell, but how should I put it? I'm not...
I know, you still haven't shaken off the shackles of outdated prejudice. But you must understand that it's for a good cause. What's more, in a certain sense, it's your moral duty. Just a moment. Is that quite clear?
Quite clear, Mr. Bowles.
I say, old boy, how goes the translating?
Oh, very well, thank you.
Tell me, how many texts have you translated so far?
Well, into Petadepi or from Petadepi.
Well, let's say into Petadepi.
Just one, but I'm working on the second one now.
So few?
That's actually not very few.
Just a moment. Slow work, isn't it?
Indeed it is. Every expression has several variants in Petadepi. So one must consult the author of the submitted text regarding the meaning of the original word in order to find out precisely how it was meant and which type of Petadepi variants to use. Am I not correct, Alex?
Not quite right. Often the authors themselves aren't sure. They simply don't know such precision from their mother tongue.
The shades of meaning of individual words in Petadepi are so subtle that most of the staff can't grasp them at all.
Well, why don't you get some help?
Help? Ha! You know how things are around here. Am I not right, Alex?
Yeah, so far nobody's really managed to learn Petadepi. Only Pekarek, and then he left for steam navigation.
Well, that'll have to... Then you'll just have to speed things up a bit. The world won't come to an end if an occasional word isn't quite right.
Sorry, Mr. Ballas. I have a meeting. May I go, please?
Run along. Just a moment, Alex. One more little thing. Tell me, how is Petadepi actually making out? From an expert's point of view, I mean.
Hard to say. I have no real basis for my statistics, so I can't form a real opinion.
Just a moment. What about the results from other organizations?
They're all right, I suppose. Except wherever Petadepi has started to be used more widely, it has automatically begun to assume the characteristics of a natural language. Various emotional overtones, imprecisions, ambiguities. Correct, Nellie?
Correct, and you know what? They say that the more one uses Petadepi, the more it gets soiled by these characteristics.
Did you say emotional overtones? But in that case, Petadepi is losing its very purpose.
One could put it that way.
Well, what can be done about it?
Practically nothing. I'm sorry, Mr. Ballas. Do you mind if I go? I have a meeting.
Well, then go along. Wait, Nellie.
What is it, Jan?
Well, you and I have always been able to talk man to man. Now, let me tell you quite frankly, or I'm asking you, do you get the impression that Petadepi isn't doing as well as it might be? Or, to put it bluntly, that it sort of got stuck?
I do.
Thank you, Nellie.
Oh, may I go now?
Run along. Mr. Gross?
Yes, Mr. Ballas.
I hope you aren't taking seriously what occurred yesterday. You do realize, don't you, it was just a bit of show for the sake of the others. Listen, why don't I call you Joe, shall I?
Well, but of course, Mr. Ballas. I'd be delighted.
I say, old boy, come out of there. You don't want to be doing that sort of work. I don't see why you shouldn't carry on as my deputy.
After what happened?
Well, we must take some risks, dammit. I won't hear of you being abused this way, Joe. We're having some difficulties. Petadepi just isn't going as planned.
Yes, I've heard.
The way things are now, I simply need you, Joe. Come sit down. Enthusiasm we felt when we were launching Petadepi. I worked at it stubbornly as a mule. You know, drank only water, ate purple hearts, went without sleep, just slaved and organized. When the cause was at stake, I was really quite ruthless. You do remember, don't you?
I do remember.
That was the best time of my life. And now look how it's all turned out. This isn't what we planned, is it?
Well, perhaps things will mend themselves somehow.
Listen, Joe, you and I, between us, we'll put things together again. You have the experience and you know how things were done in the past when everything worked. I know how they ought to be done so they work in the future. If we two work hand in hand, I'll bet you anything you like, we'll hammer out something damn well astonishing. Are you free tonight?
Yeah.
Good. Look, let's meet quietly at some pub, have a glass of beer, and really think things out. We'll map out the plan so we know just how we'll go about it. Who should I rely on here? But if not on you, Joe.
But I thought that we were...
Now fetch George and tell him to march back into his cubicle. He's already proved himself in this job, and he must see that what we need above all right now in high positions is... specialists. Otto. You still haven't told me about translations from Petadepi.
So far, I haven't translated anything from Petadepi.
Nothing at all? Alex, well, why not?
Up until now, nobody has brought me any authorization from Alex.
Alex, well, why do you refuse to authorize translations?
But I can't authorize them without personal registration documents.
Nellie, you mean all this time nobody has brought you any documents from Nellie?
That's right.
Nellie, why do you refuse to issue those damn documents?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, I can't issue them until I've made sure they don't conflict with the findings in the memos. And I can't learn the findings because the blessed memos are written in Petadepi. And as you damn well know, I'm forbidden to make any translations whatsoever. Hasn't that girl brought my lines yet?
Then why doesn't Otto translate the memos?
I can translate only after getting authorization from Alex.
Then Alex will have to start granting authorizations.
I can't, if nobody has the documents from Nellie.
Do you hear that, Nellie? You'll have to start giving people the documents regardless.
But I'm not permitted to translate.
I'd like to know who thought up this vicious circle.
You did, Mr. Ballas.
Well, what of it? The situation was entirely different at the time. Then it had a profound significance. But we've progressed since then, and that's why I propose the following simplifications of procedure of translating Petadepi in all texts. These will come into effect at once. First, Helena is permitted to issue the personal registration documents without knowing the contents of the memos. Second, Alex is permitted to authorize all translations without the personal registration documents. Third, Otto is permitted to translate without an authorization from Alex. Is that quite clear? The fact that we can afford these measures is one more eloquent proof of the rightness of our way. Now, I'd like you to translate this.
A protest. We, the undersigned staff of the Accounts Department, protest most emphatically against the transfer of our offices to the cellar. And we announce hereby that we have no longer work under these deplorable conditions.
That's
and
enough.
If...
Thank you.
Do you realize what would happen if anybody saw you here?
I'm no longer the staff watcher.
Oh.
Mr. Ballas made me his deputy again.
Congratulations.
Good gracious, what for? Frankly, I'd rather have been the staff watcher.
I know. You'll have to cope with some pretty big problems. Now, I expect.
Never mind. Well, Maria, have a good time here, and do come and see me in the office. So see me in my office one day.
Mr. Gross?
Yes?
Has anyone translated that for you? You know, that thing you want translated?
The memorandum? No. And according to current regulations, nobody can. Well, it's probably better that way.
Do you think it's a negative one?
Well, I've always learned to expect the worst.
Was there any irregularity found in the audit in your department?
Not that I know of. I did take the rubber stamp home just then, but I took it for reasons of work and not, as some people seem to suggest, for my children to play with. My little Martin might have played with it at most twice in all that time.
Well, if your conscience is clear, you've got nothing to worry about. Your innocence will be proved, but you have to fight for it. I believe if one doesn't give way, truth must always come in the end.
What do you know about the world, dear child? Still, I wish you could always stay like this. You're right. One really ought always stand firm. The trouble is, I've never been very firm. More of an intellectual. Always hesitant. Always full of doubts. Too considerate. A dreamer rather than a man of action. And that's my bad luck. When I think of it, I see that I've muddled up too many things in my life myself. I often gave in too soon, yielded to threats. And I trusted people too much. If I ever have any influence on the course of things again, I'll do everything different. More real deeds and fewer clever words. I've never been sufficiently matter-of-fact, cool-headed, proud, severe and critical, especially with myself. It may be because I belong to an odd, lost generation. We were so busy for so long talking about our great mission that we forgot to do anything right. In short, we were a mess.
Have you the memo with you?
You mean, surely you wouldn't.
I'm quite grown up, thank you, Mr. Gross. Mm-hmm. I know what I'm doing. Give it to me. Dear sir, the last audit in your department has shown that the allegation of repeated appropriation of the bank endorsement stamp for improper use in your case entirely unfounded. On the contrary, we feel obliged to emphasize the very positive findings of the audit, which clearly proves that you have been conscientious and responsible in directing of your organization, and that you therefore merit full confidence. This is further confirmed by your stand as regards to Petadepi, which has been quite unequivocal from the beginning. Our view of the Petadepi campaign has always been entirely negative, for we understand it to be a profoundly harmful attempt to place office communications on a confused, unrealistic, anti-human basis. We suggest that you liquidate with the greatest possible resolution and speed any attempt to introduce Petadepi into your organization, and that you severely punish all those who have been propagating Petadepi for their own personal advantage and disregard of the consequences. Wishing you all success in your future work, we remain yours faithfully. Signature illegible.
Thank you, Maria. Now at last I have an opportunity to prove that I have more civil courage than I've shown so far. I promise you that this time I shall not give away anything or anybody, even at the risk of my position.
I like you.
First, I must deserve your sympathy.
That was a stupid thing to do, Maria.
Oh gosh, are you there?
I came back a moment ago. And I'm not sorry I did. I hope you realize why.
Listen, what about those lines?
Oh, I'm afraid I do.
The director's office.
Where are my rollers?
Mr. Ballas, your era is over.
My memorandum has just been translated to me, and its contents make it perfectly clear that I'm not only quite innocent as regards the rubber stamp, above all, I'm the only legitimate director of this organization. Furthermore, I'm requested by this memorandum to make an end of Pity Dippy with the greatest possible resolution and speed.
Hannah.
Yes, Mr. Ballas.
Isn't it time for you to get your chocolates?
Oh, yes, it is.
Well, then run along. And while you're there, get me some Rolos, the usual.
Yes.
Sorry, what did you say?
Furthermore, I'm requested by it to make an end of Pity Dippy with the greatest speed and to punish severely all those who were engaged in this introduction for their own advantage. In other words, history has proved me right, and I, on the basis of the authority which is rightfully mine...
In a minute, Miss P. What did you say?
In other words, history has proved me right, and I, on the basis of the authority which is rightfully mine, shall draw due consequences from what has occurred. The way in which you seized the entire organization and forced Pity Dippy on it cries for vengeance. I'm a humanist, and my concept of the organization derives from the idea...
Thank you, Hannah. Thank you. What were you saying?
I'm a humanist, and my concept of directing this organization derives from the idea that every single member of the staff is human and must become more and more human. This is why I cannot but fight anyone who tries to spit upon this idea. I place the struggle for the victory of reason and of moral value...
In a minute, Miss P. In a minute. What did you say?
I place the victory of reason and of moral values above a peace brought by their loss. And I will carry on to the bitter end a struggle against all the misdeeds you've committed here. I think that under these circumstances, it is no longer possible for you to remain in our organization. Kindly move out of my desk.
Here, have one.
I said kindly move out of my desk.
Do have one, they're superb.
Move out of my desk!
Well, let's say after lunch, all right?
Well, I'm glad you aren't putting up any resistance. After lunch will be all right.
Well, I don't see why I should put up any resistance.
You mean... You agree with me?
Of course.
How so?
I've seen the light.
Have you?
Absolutely. I've come to the conclusion that Pity Dippy is all nonsense. I believed in it, I fought in his establishment, but it was all a mistake. Subjectively, I meant well, but objectively, the effect was negative. And so now I must accept, whether I like it or not, all the severe consequences of my activity. In one more minute, Miss P.
Are you being sincere? You shouldn't be so calm about it. Very confusing.
I'm calm because your severe but just words express what I've been tragically feeling for a long time. I'll help you to the limits of my abilities. Do have one.
No, thanks. You seem to have come to your senses.
I have.
Perhaps you were indeed sincerely mistaken.
I was.
How do you mean you'll help me?
You're quite sure that you won't have one?
Thanks, not now. How do you mean you'll help me?
But they're very superb.
I'm sure they are. How do you mean you'll help me?
Well, look, old boy. If you don't take one, I'll really be hurt.
You must have misunderstood me. I said you'll leave the organization.
Well, I was hoping to serve as your deputy. You wouldn't want to take such drastic measures, would you?
I'm sorry, but I've made up my mind not to give way this time. I don't propose to repeat my old mistake.
Come. Didn't I let you stay on as my deputy?
Well, that was different. Rightfully, I should have remained the director, and truth was on my side.
I know that too now.
I've known it from the beginning.
It's always easy to be against a thing from the beginning. What's much harder is to be for a thing, even at the risk of getting your teeth kicked in.
Well, that doesn't change by one iota the fact that you are the chief culprit, and so you must get the severest punishment. You'll simply have to pack up and get out.
And if I don't?
You will.
Take it easy, old boy. Recognize this? It's the supplementary order for the introduction of Pity Dippy, and if I'm not mistaken, it's signed by you and not me. Or were you not the managing director at the time? Well then, who is the chief culprit? Yes, Miss Pete, just give me one more minute, would you please? Well?
That one signature is insignificant. It's nothing in comparison to what you've done.
Well, trouble is, history only knows such signatures.
Besides, it was you who got me to sign it.
Did I? Well, I don't seem to remember that.
By your trick about the authentication of the notebook.
I wouldn't bring that up if I were you.
Why not?
Because it's no extenuating circumstance at all. Just the reverse, in fact.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Don't you? Well, look here, old boy.
it weren't for the notebook affair, you might have claimed that you signed the order moved by sincere belief that your principles, which of course wouldn't have excused your conduct, but would have at least explained it somewhat on humanitarian grounds. If on the top of your guilt in introducing Pettadeppi, you choose now also to volunteer an admission of your guilt regarding the notebook, you'd leave nobody in any doubt whatever about the real culprit responsible for all that's happened. Well then, shall we come to an agreement?
All right, let's both resign.
As far as I'm concerned, I don't see why I should.
And you would really help me with everything?
I'm glad our discussion is finally reaching a realistic level. Of course I would. Here, take one.
You have a great deal of experience. You can work as stubbornly as a mule. Would you also work like a mule against Pettadeppi?
I can't see things any other way. Yes, Miss P, nearly ready.
But somebody has to get the axe. You know how people are.
Leave that all to me. Ready, Miss P.
Dear sir, the delegation which under the leadership of Mr. Pillar now comes to you consists of people who until the very last sincerely believed in Pettadeppi and were in the vanguard of its introduction. All the more difficult it is therefore for us, your loyal colleagues, to approach you now as a delegation whose mission it is to warn you against the consequences of any further propagation of Pettadeppi.
Dear friends, I know only too well, perhaps even better than you, how the desperation in this situation we've reached with Pettadeppi, and I assure you that it has cost me many a sleepless night. As your former managing director, I accept the greatest share of the responsibility and blame for the whole affair. I've resigned as your managing director, and I've passed this position on to the man who you'll surely agree is best qualified for it, Mr. Joseph Greff. Gross.